his opinion, the Rambam failed to count. So we covered more or less the first four. The most famous of the first four is the fourth, that the Ramban speaks about the importance of Hakamas HaMedina. And the Megillas Esther misunderstood that that was his argument with the Rambam, that the Rambam should have included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs mitzvah to establish a Jewish government, and he gives a whole Shvach explanation why it doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvah. The truth of the matter is that that was not the Haksogas HaRamban. The mitzvah to establish a Jewish government was included by the Rambam. He has three mitzvahs. The Rambam starts off Hilchus Melachim by quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chofim, and Beis. Gimel mitzvah is Nitztava Yisrael b'chnisosim la'aretz. The Jewish people became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in this order. First is Lahamed la'melech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then secondly is Lahachri Zara Shalamolech. You have to have an army that's sponsored by a Jewish government in order to go to war. So Lahachri Zara Shalamolech. And after Lahachri Zara Shalamolech, then live in the Slam Beis HaBchira, to build a Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam does count that mitzvah. The mitzvah that the Ramban claims the Rambam failed to count is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes the psukim from Parshas Maaseh, from this week's Parshas HaShavua. The psukim say, "V'harashtem es ha'aretz, v'yishavtem bo." V'harashtem es ha'aretz means you should chase out the enemy, you should take over the country, shalai nazvena biyad zulaseinu. We should see to it that there's a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. It's not enough just, we should live in Eretz Yisrael under the British. We should live in Eretz Yisrael under the Palestinians. No, we should live in Eretz Yisrael under a Jewish government. And secondly, to live in Eretz Yisrael, taka mitzvah v'yishavtem bo, to live in Eretz Yisrael. So his taina is why the Rambam didn't include that mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So we mentioned that some of the many different svarim, many beautiful svarim that were composed on the Sefer HaMitzvahs to discuss all the issues that are brought up. It's interesting, there are issues brought up here by the Rambam and the Ramban, ideas don't appear anywhere else in the Torah literature, the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. When it comes down to bottom line, to counting the mitzvahs, so they start bringing up issues that they never discussed anywhere else. So some of the Mefarshim say that the Rambam probably agrees what the Ramban wrote on Chumash, that Iker Mokam of Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. To keep kashrus, it's more important to keep kashrus in Eretz Yisrael. In Shabbos, and to keep tzitzis and tefillin, the most important place to keep all the mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Lortz also, but the most important place is Eretz Yisrael. So that's what many suggest, that the Rambam didn't count as a separate mitzvah b'fnei atzma. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael is a detail, it's a prat within all the other 613 mitzvahs. You should keep Shabbos, and when you observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, you enhance the observance of Shabbos. You should wear tzitzis. You wear tzitzis in Eretz Yisrael. You should wear in Eretz Yisrael as the main location for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs. So those are the first four mitzvahs. The fourth one is the most famous. Then the Ramban has Mitzvah Hay. You read in Parshas Pinchas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzoraris HaMidyanim Hikisim Osam, because the Midyanim are terrible people. Wage war against Minyan. That's what we read in Parshas Pinchas. Then in Parshas Matos, last week we read that Moshe Rabbeinu put together an army, 1,000 soldiers from every Shevet, Elef Lamata, 12,000 soldiers, Chalitzei Tzavor. They put together an army of 12,000 soldiers, and they were successful in battle against Midyan. So it says, Vayitzbu'u al Midyan, the army waged war against Midyan, Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe. It is true, Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe, as God had instructed Moshe Rabbeinu in the previous Parsha Pinchas. But what does that add on? It says in Parshas Pinchas he was commanded to wage war against Midyan. It says in Parshas Matos that he waged war. What is added on by saying Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe? So the Ramban quotes the Rambam. He says the Rambam himself quotes this in Hilchos Melachim u'Milchama Sem. The Rambam quotes from the Sifrei. And that pasuk never appears in the Gemara, but the Sifrei comments on that pasuk, when you wage war against an enemy, you're supposed to encircle them only on three sides. You're not supposed to encircle them on all four sides. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash, but this is alluded to. Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe means, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah Shebal Peh. The verb Kasha Tziva has the connotation of Torah Shebaal Peh. Take for example, Maimon HaSinai is written up in Parashas Yisro. And then, what else happened in Maimon HaSinai? Kadosh Baruch proclaimed, Anochi Hashem Elokech, Oli HaSeres HaDibros. That's recorded in Parashas Yisro. The end of Parashas Mishpatim, it says, special korbanos were offered on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. That's the din. Whenever a ger is misgayer, whenever a non-Jew converts, so he's obligated to bring a korban hager. Bizman hazeh, we don't have any Beis HaMikdash, so the Gemara raises the question, how can you accept any converts today if the ger is supposed to bring a korban? So the Gemara derives from a pasuk, chayogaritchem ger, ledoresechem. If a non-Jew will convert in any of the generations, ledoresechem. So the pasuk means to imply you can accept a convert even if you live in a generation where there is no Beis HaMikdash and he's not able to bring the korban. So we learn out from the pasuk, we can still be mekabel ger. The Mishnah says increases that all of the converts after the Churban HaBayis, all those non-Jews, there were a lot of non-Jews who were converting. It's interesting historically. The Romans tortured the Jews so much, they killed so many Jews, so the people back in Rome wanted to know, what avera did the Jews do? What horrible people are they that our soldiers were destroying them? So they looked into it and they realized Judaism is a beautiful religion. So after the Churban HaBayis, Sheni, after the Romans were bludgeoning to death, Asura Aruge Malchus, they tortured them to death. They burned them alive, like Spain did, by the Spanish Inquisition. They burned people alive. After the Romans were burning people and killing people, there was a tremendous mass of gerus, many, out of proportion. There were many, many gerim from many different countries, and especially from Rome. There was a possibility that Judaism would become the major religion of the world at that time. That's why in the Nusach HaTfilah that the Kamoz Ala Tzadikim Ala Chasidim, how does it say in the Shema Nesim? Al Geri HaTzedek V'Aleinu. What do you mention Geri HaTzedek for? Just a couple of non-Jewish converts. Apparently there was, at the time that Nusach was composed, that's how the history books write, there was a tremendous proportion of people who were converting to Judaism. That's what happened after the Second World War also. The Nazis tortured the Jews to death. They killed 6 million Jews that they kept records. They have on their books. They killed more than 6 million Jews. They didn't keep records of everybody. There's 6 million. When I was a little boy, right after the war, so they said the Nazis killed 9 million Jews. And Stalin killed more than 9 million Jews. In order to stay in office, Stalin killed Jews and non-Jews. He killed millions and millions and millions of people. He wasn't so stupid to keep records of everything. He killed all the people in order to keep power. That's what all the dictators do. So the Nazis tortured so many Jews, so their children and their grandchildren are trying to look back, trying to figure out, what did they have against the Jews? So they look into Judaism, and a lot of them are converting now. If you look around in Eretz Yisrael especially, the proportion of Germans who are converting, it's much higher than the proportion of the Germans in the general population. It's out of proportion. Many Germans whose parents and grandparents were involved in the Nazi persecutions, in the war, killing all the Jews, the war to kill all the Jews, they're looking, like in the days of the Churban Mishnah, they're looking back into the history. Why did our parents and our grandparents torture these people? It's a beautiful religion. They're converting to the Jewish religion. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the rest of the story of Maimon HaSinai is presented. The Mishnah says increases when a non-Jew converts Bizman HaZeh, if he lives so long to see the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, he will have to bring a korban. He can't bring the korban now, but he'll have to bring a korban. And the Mishnah says the practice was for a few years after the Churban HaBayis, any non-Jew who would convert, they knew they have to bring a korban. They knew there was no Beis HaMikdash, so they would set aside money. There would be Magdash the money and put it away, for the purpose, in case the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt during our lifetime, we're going to use that money to bring the Korban Oilah. They have to bring an oilah. It doesn't have to be an oilah's behemoth that costs $1,000. You could bring an oilah's oif that'll cost $50. So they used to bring oilah's oif. That's how the Mishnah describes it. So there were many gerim were putting aside money after the Korban HaBayis. Many gerim were putting aside money that Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash, the money is going to go towards bringing the Korban HaGer. And then the Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the chief rabbi, the Gemara says he functioned as chief rabbi for 40 years. The Gemara has a tradition that he lived about 120 years. Rabbi Yashiv was 101. So Rabbi Yechmiel Zakeh, according to the tradition, lived 120 years. The first 40 years of his life, he made $1 million and he put it away in a bank and then he retired. And the next 40 years, he sat and he learned. And the next 40 years, he served as the chief rabbi. Rabbi Yechmiel Zakeh was chief rabbi for about 40 years. And during his presidency, during his period of time, when he was the chief rabbi, he and his bezin made 9 takonis. Some of the 9 takonis had to do with the Churban Abayis. So this is one of the 9 takonis, that the gerim should stop putting away money for the karbonis. Because they were putting away money, and then the money was disappearing. They put away money in a drawer, and then apparently the people forgot what the money was for, and the ger would die. Then they would use the money for their own purposes, so they were in violation of moil behegdash. You're not allowed to use hegdash to get money for your own purposes. Rabbi Yechmiel Zakeh, one of his 9 takanas was, he abolished that practice. You should not put away money. The Gersh and his guy, when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, will tell you to bring korban. Don't set aside money. Now it's just going to be maybe the day Mechshol. That was one of the 9 takanas that he made. So the psukim at the end of Parshas Mishpatim really are the Hemshech of Parshas Yisro. It tells the Maimon HaSinai. Then it tells about the special karbonas hager that were brought. All of Klal Yisrael underwent Geiris. Maimon HaSinai was the Geiris for all of Klal Yisrael at that time. So we had to bring Karbonis on the occasion. So after Maimon HaSinai, after all the Karbonis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'atoh, now, Alei Elai Ha'horo, you climb up to the top of HaSinai, Ve'et L'chos Luchas Ha'eben, Va'atorah V'ha'mitzvah She'kosavti L'ha'iros. I will give you the Luchas Ha'eben. So the Gemara says in Brachas, the Luchas Ha'eben, is the Shnei Luchas HaBris, the Aseres HaDibris. V'HaTorah refers to the rest of Chumshei Torah. Luchas HaEvan, V'HaTorah, V'HaMitzvah. Mar says the phrase V'HaMitzvah, that term, has a technical connotation of Torah Shebal Peh. There's a lot of Torah Shebal Peh that guides you how to understand the Torah Shebichzav. Asher Kasafti, what does that mean? Asher Kasafti Lohay Raisam. So the Gemara says Asher Kasavti is a reference to Nevi'im Uksuvim, that all the ideas that appear in Nevi'im Uksuvim were already told to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And Lohay Raisam Zuha Mishnah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the secret to how to paskin shailos, how to come to Maskoni. You can have a lot of nice ideas, you can have conflicting ideas, so you have to have a Koyach Achra, you have to have a Koyach HaPsak. So Lohay Raisam Zuha Mishnah, how to paskin Halacha L'maaseh. So all of this will told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Rambam, in his introduction to the Mishnah Torah, starts off, that's the first line in the introduction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, gave us the Torah Shebichzav, with the Torah Shebal Peh, as the Pasuk says in the end of Parshas Mishpat, Ma'atoh, Alei Elai Ha'horah, climb up to Harsin, Ve'et Lecha, Sluchas Ha'evin, V'HaTorah, V'HaMitzvah, Asher Kasavti Lo Ha'rosim. So the Rambam says, HaTorah is the whole Torah Shebichzav, HaMitzvah is the Torah Shebal Peh. We were commanded to observe the Torah in accordance with the guidelines of the mitzvah. Similarly, you have a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim. It says, when the Jewish people will enter Eretz Yisrael and they'll live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, it'll be very difficult to tell them, go bring a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. It'll be too far to bring a carbon. And they'll be interested in eating meat. So you can't tell them, go bring a carbon shlomim and eat the meat. They live too far away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us the din of Shechitas Bisar Taiva. All the meat that we eat is called Bisar Taiva. Why such an expression? Chulin. Bisar Chulin is called Bisar Taiva because the phrase used in the Pasuk is when you live in Eretz Yisrael far away from the Beis HaMikdash, Kisav Nafshecha Lechol Basar. You'll have a desire to eat meat. So it says, B'chol Avas Nafshecha Tizbach. Gizon Tehet. Eat flesh. But it says, "V'zavachta kashet zivisicha." You should shech the behemis as I have instructed you. What does it mean? "V'zavachta," you should shech kashet zivisicha. So when you learn Yeridaya, when you learn the Tur Yeridaya, this is the first line in the Tur Yeridaya. Quotes a Gemara from the second Perek in Chulam. "V'zavachta," you should shech kashet zivisicha. Kashet zivisicha is an allusion to Torah Shebal Peh. It's an allusion to Halachas L'Moshe Messina. This is the reference, V'zavachta, Kashet Zivisicha, is a reference to the Chomish Hilcha Shechita, the proper way to shecht a behemah if you're interested in eating flesh. See, it too, this pasuk says, Vayitzba'u al Midyan, and last week said, it says, when they waged the war against Midyanim, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, Tzorer, Zah Midyanim Ikisim Oysam, that's in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. Then towards the beginning of Parshas Matos, it says, Vayitzba'u al Midyan, They put together an army, tzava, and they wage war against me. Kashatziv Hashem as Moshe. What does that mean? As he was instructed in Parshas Pinchas. So the survey says no. Kashatziv is a reference, a specific reference, some chunk of Torah Shebaal Peh that doesn't appear anywhere in Torah Shebichtav. What is that? That they shouldn't surround the enemy on all four sides. They should only surround on three sides. The Ramban has two interpretations of this din. What kind of halach is that? L'aniach achas min aruches b'li matzor. We should only encircle the enemy on three sides and not on the fourth side. So he has two suggestions. One suggestion is we should have chemla, we should have rachmanis on the enemy. Why should we try to kill everybody? If they want to run away, let them run away. Let them escape. That's one suggestion. According to that suggestion, so the whole din not to surround them on all four sides only applies to Melchemes or Rishus. That's what he sounds like he says later. In every Melchemes or Rishus, you should leave a fourth side open. What if you're waging war against Amalek? Waging war against the Zayin Umas? That's Hachrim Tachrime. So you're not supposed to have Rachmanis, not on Amalek and not on Zayin Umas. So then the Ramban sounds like he says that you should enclose them. You should have no Rachmanis and encircle them on all four sides. But then the Ramban writes another suggestion. Bo Otim is another idea. They're writing about this. They were writing about this a month ago in the New York Times in the newspapers. The governments, the different governments from Europe who were helping out the rebels in Libya, surrounded Gaddafi on all four sides. They made it impossible for him to run away. So they said that that was a mistake. If they would have surrounded him on three sides, give him an exit, so maybe he would have run away and would have been peaceful. But now that they surrounded him on all four sides, he's going to fight back like a wild animal, like a Meshuggah. So it's better for your war, it's a war tactic, only to surround them on three sides. So they won't feel enclosed, and they won't fight back with such fervor. If you enclose them on all four sides, so you're going to encourage them to fight harder. So it could even be that the din should apply even to Melchemes Amalek. Should even apply to Melchemes Ayin Umas. It's unclear. The Ramban on the last line in Mitzvah says that this din not to enclose all of the enemy on all four sides applies to every Melchemes or Rishus. But it's questionable according to the second explanation that he gave. It's a tikkun. It's better for our purposes if they don't feel caged in, so they won't be so strong in fighting back, so we stand a better chance in winning the war. Right, so that's the first suggestion of the Ramban is, we should have Rachmanis and the Melchemes Rishus and give them an opportunity to run away. But if it's a Melchemes Mitzvah, then it shouldn't apply. Then he gives a second suggestion. He says, maybe that helps out in the war effort. If they feel caged in, then they're going to be encouraged to fight back harder. Then it's going to be harder for us to wage the war. So maybe we stand a better chance of winning the war if we don't enclose them on all four sides. So according to that second suggestion, it could be that the din should even apply to Melchemes Mitzvah, because we stand a better chance of winning the war if we don't enclose them on all four sides. The Ramban is not sure what the reason is. So the Ramban is complaining against the Rambam, why the Rambam didn't include this mitzvah. This is a mitzvah saseh, that whenever you wage war, you shouldn't enclose the enemy on all four sides, only on three sides. Why didn't the Rambam count this in the minyan mitzvahs? So the Megillah Esther comes to defend the Rambam, and most of his defense, and most of these 17 mitzvahs that the Ramban lists off here, he has 17, but he's not sure, maybe some of them don't count. So the defense, most of the defense that the Megillah Esther gives is, the Rambam felt that this is a prat meprote ha-mitzvah. The Rambam already mentioned there's a mitzvah to wage war. Unfortunately, there are such mitzvahs. There are such mitzvahs. Not all the mitzvahs are like clapping haman, or like eating hamantashen on Purim. Sometimes there's a mitzvah like eating marah. Sometimes there are bitter mitzvahs. Sometimes there's a mitzvah you have to go to war. You have to kill, and you have to have some of your soldiers lose their lives also. There are bitter mitzvahs. Not all the mitzvahs are so cheery and happy. Sheikh Alulav is a happy mitzvah. Eat marah is not a happy mitzvah. It's a bitter mitzvah. You go to war, you're going to kill and you're going to lose soldiers. So that's not a happy mitzvah. But there is a mitzvah to wage war when necessary. So Megillah says to suggest, maybe the Rambam didn't count this as an independent mitzvah, because it's a prat, it's one of the details on how to wage war. The Rama writes it's a mitzvah to be makar v'kod v'noila properly. So he doesn't count shchita, kabbalah sadam, halachas sadam, zrika sadam, hefshit, nituach, haktaris evarim. He doesn't count all seven as seven different mitzvahs. These are all details. It's one mitzvah to be makar v'kod v'noila properly with a lot of parts to it.
What are the rules for saying something's a private mitzvah or it's a real mitzvah? Why would the Ramban say it's a complete mitzvah? The Ramban would only say it's a private.
Right, that's the defense, that's the repeated defense of the Megillah Esther, he said. The Ramban thinks that these are all prote me prote hamitzvah. Take, for example, the Ramban counts Kriya Shema, to recite Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening as one mitzvah with two parts. The Ramban says what he means, mana shel zeh, lok is mana shel zeh. This should be counted as two different mitzvahs. Kriya Shema shel Shachris is one mitzvah. Kriya Shema shel Arvis is two mitzvahs. It's the same thing. Tomin shel Shachar, Tomin shel Ben Abayim. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. And the Ramban thinks Zbanu shel Zeh Lokas, Zbanu shel Zeh should be counted as two mitzvahs. A Kibbut Aviyim. So the Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. Kibbut Horim. To be respectful of parents. The Rambam says, and the Ramban says, the father's not the mother, mother's not the father, should be counted as two mitzvahs. Kibbut Av and Kibbut Aim. We count it as two mitzvahs. And the Rama holds that these are just details within the mitzvah. See, I have a lot of times these machlokes. It doesn't make that much of a difference whether it's a mitzvah, bifnei atzmo, or a detail. That's a general question. We don't understand what makvala behola azos. Why did they write, why did they spend so much time to try to ascertain which are the 613 mitzvahs? Oh, they wanted to understand the Gemara. Reb Simloi says in the Gemara, in the end of Makkos, that there were 613 mitzvahs. But does it really make a difference whether something is counted as a mitzvah or not? You're obligated to do it anyway, whether it counts as a separate mitzvah or it's assumed as a part of another mitzvah. So what's really halacha lemaisa? Is there really a big difference whether something is counted as a mitzvah or not? Sometimes you don't count it as a mitzvah because it's only a hayrah shor. Oh, that's important to know. Was it only a din in that generation and does it apply in our generation as well? But if the din, if everybody agrees that the din does apply in all the generations, they just argue whether it counts as an independent mitzvah or it's assumed under the category of another mitzvah. So it doesn't really make that much of a difference, halacha lemaisa.
But if you hold that it's, it seems like it would be a bigger difference because if you say that it's just a part of the mitzvah, so then if you don't do that, then you didn't do the whole mitzvah, then you didn't do any of the mitzvah. As opposed to the separate mitzvahs, then you
can
still be...
No, sometimes the pratim in the mitzvah miyakev, sometimes they're not miyakev. Take, for example, there's a mitzvah of chalitza. So the mitzvah of chalitza is if a man is married and he dies and he has no children, not from this marriage, not from a previous marriage, he has no children at all, so then the wife is supposed to have either chalitza or yibum. So we count chalitza as a mitzvah. So the mitzvah b'shleimus of chalitza requires rikika, to spit on the floor in front of the ovum, and kriyas ha-psukim also. The Yavam has to begin with reciting psukim. Mein Yavam elohokim shem le-Yisrael. And he has to say, she says le-Yavma, he says lo-chavatzi le-kachto. They have to recite psukim. Then they have to have rikika, then they have to have chalitza sasando. So there's a machlekes ha-tanaim, how much is me'akev? And we paskin that only the chalitza is me'akev. The rikika is not me'akev, and the kriyas ha-psukim is not me'akev. So you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah shalom b'shleim musam. Let's say you bring a korban chatos to the Beis HaMikdash. It's supposed to do zrikas on all four corners of the mizbeach. But if you do one zrika, you yotzei, the korban is kosher. But you didn't fulfill the mitzvah bishlei musa. You'll get less alam haba.
So would that be a difference? Why can that be a difference?
It's a difference how much Gan Eden you're going to get. Did he leave out a whole mitzvah? Did he only leave out part of a mitzvah?
Some of the mitzvahs are not.
Sometimes you have a detail in the mitzvah that is miyakim, sometimes not. Take for example, you're supposed to put on the shalyad before the shalrosh. If you did it in reverse order, bit of yevid, you yotze. But the mitzvah b'shleim musa was to do it in the proper order. But you yotze the mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. Sometimes if you're missing too much, you're not yotze the mitzvah, period. So if it's missing too much, too many details, so you're not yotze. So each case, the Gemara has to work out based on sukin, which details are miyakim, which are just lachatchila for the sake of a mitzvah b'shlei musa.
The Ramban says all these mitzvahs are really mitzvahs, so what does he say aren't mitzvahs?
He already deleted 17 mitzvahs as he went through the Minyan HaMitzvahs essay. So he says, wait a minute, if I threw out 17 of the Ramban's mitzvahs, I have to replace them with another 17. So he already replaced them. He already said kibud aviyim is two mitzvahs. So he already added one. Tamid shalshachat tamid shemeramayim is two. So he already added on another one. Then he says k'toris in the morning. No, k'toris he agrees is one mitzvah. What was the third one? Say kibud aviyim kriyashma. Twice a day he cancels two mitzvahs. So he already has three more mitzvahs. Then he adds on another 17. So he already has 20. He already has 20. But somehow he's forgetting about those three. He's not sure himself. He's not sure. He's raising that he's going to raise possibilities here. He may have more than 17. He may have more than 25. He's supposed to come up with a sum total of 248 mitzvahs, I say. So he's trying to figure out which are the missing mitzvahs. He deleted 17 from the Rambam's list. He has to replace them with another 17. So again, so the Megillas Esther writes to defend, he's the standard commentary on the Zayin. To defend the Rambam, he thinks that the Rambam didn't count this as an independent mitzvah. That when we wage war against the enemy, we should only enclose them on three sides, not on all four sides. The Rambam thinks that this is a prat miprati ha-mitzvah. It's one of the details. The mitzvah is, sometimes you have to wage war. So there are details how to wage war. That could be that that's a correct answer, but I think there's another correct answer that the Rambam spoke bariches about. The Rambam in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs gives you the 14 klolim, what the translator calls the 14 sharoshim, Ibn Tibin. This was translated by Ramosha Ibn Tibin. It's not such a gewaldige translation. So that's why the new translations are better. So he calls them the 14 sharoshim. In the new translation, they call it the 14 klolim. Why should we call 14 sharoshim? They're klalim, they're guidelines to determine what belongs in the minyan mitzvahs and what not. And what should it be counted as one mitzvah? What should it be counted as 39 mitzvahs? The 39 malachas of Shabbos counted as one mitzvah. And all the mesafim of Sukkot is counted as one mitzvah. And so on. So one of the sharoshim that the Rambam writes was, we're only going to include in the minyan mitzvahs 630 mitzvahs based on pshuto shel mikra. Based on Torah Shebichzav. We're not going to include Torah Shebal Peh. So the Ramban has a whole attack against the Rambam. And what's wrong, pray tell, with Torah Shebal Peh? What is it, Aloha Madrege? Torah Shebal Peh is only with the Rabbanan. What is he talking about? He's crazy. He has a long attack against the Rambam. So the simple answer for the Rambam, simple pshat in the Rambam, is very obvious. The Rambam, in his Hakdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis, quotes from the Gaonim. Gone but before the days of Rashi and Tosfos, before the period of the Mishnah. The name of the yeshiva used to be Gaon Yaakov. So the president of the yeshiva was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. It's a long title. So to a bridger, they called him the Goyen. It doesn't necessarily mean, when we call the Vilna Goyen, the Goyen means it was a super genius. The Goyen doesn't necessarily mean that all of the Goyen were geniuses. They were the presidents of the yeshiva that was called Gaon Yaakov. Some of them were outstanding Talmid HaChachamim, and some of them were outstandingly not Talmid HaChachamim. They were fundraisers. The president of the yeshiva today is a fundraiser. He's usually not necessarily a big Talmid HaChachamim. So some of the Goyinim were outstanding and learning, some of them not so much. So the Goyinim had a position. They understood the Gemara, literally. The Gemara says, every single din, Kol Masha Talmid Vasek Osir L'Chadish, every din, that was developed in the later generations. The Mishnah Brura, you look in the Mishnah Brura, he quotes a din from Rashi and from the Rabbeinu Tam and from the Rambam and from the Rashba and from the Magen Avraham and from the Shach, Rishonim, Achronim. Everybody came up with another din. So the Mishnah Brura quotes all of these shittas. So the Gaonim were of the opinion that it says in the Midrashim in several places, Kol Masha Talmid Vasek Osir L'Chadish, any Chiddush din that'll be developed in later generations by the Talmid HaChamim, everything was Nemalo L'Moshe Messina. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So every single sif in the Mishnah Berurah was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's really what it means. So the Gaonim took it literally. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did the Tanoim and Amoraim have to break their heads to darshan Klal HaPrat HaKlal and HaKal V'Chaymer and Dabashoi HaKlal V'Yotzman HaKlal all the Yud Gimel Minish HaTarn HaDresh HaSpen. Everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they say that's a way to check yourself to make sure whether you're remembering correctly. Maybe you remembered wrong. Maybe the tradition is backwards. Maybe the Masor really was that it's Potter, not Chayit. So if there's a way to show that the din is correct based on what in the Midrash HaTorah and Resh HaSpam, that's a way to indicate that your historical tradition is correct. And how come there's so much Machlokes in the Gemara? If everything was a tradition. So they say they forgot. They forgot what the tradition was. So the Rambam writes, this is a shame on the Jewish people to say like that. I mean, we forgot 98% of the Torah. There's a machlokes on every page in the Gemara. Machlokes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Abai v'Rava, Rabbi Rav Ashi. Every page in the Gemara there's a machlokes. Every single din in the Gemara was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and every single machlokes is because they forgot what the din was. So they forgot 98% of the Torah. How can he say such a thing? The Torah is the most precious thing that the Jewish people have. How can they have forgotten so much? So he says that's an indictment against the Klal Yisrael to say like that. He said that's not acceptable, it's ridiculous. He says Moshe Rabbeinu was given the text of the Chumash. It was given Halachas L'Moshe Mitzinai. It's given Pirushim HaMukubalim L'Moshe Mitzinai. Shatan this pasuk means this. Shatan that pasuk means that. And then it was given the Midas Shatran and Reshes Behem. The rules and regulations, how to read in between the lines, how to fill in the missing points of information in every mitzvah. Every mitzvah is described in the Chumash as like a bare skeleton that's missing flesh. It just has the bare bones to it. So you have to employ, you have to utilize the Midas Shatran and Reshes Behem. The Rabbanim in every generation is supposed to use the Midas Shatran and Reshes Behem to fill in all the missing points within the mitzvah. But it's not that all the dinim were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The text of the Chumash was given, and the principles, the guiding principles of the Midas Shatran and Reshes Behem were told to Moshe Rabbeinu. In every generation, the Rabbanim raised an issue. Should be darshan like this, should be darshan like that. So they had a machlokes. And then they came to a consensus, and they decided one way. It's not that every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, and every machlokes is based on shikha. When a new issue came up, the Rabbanim had a machlokes, how should you darshan the psukim? And the dinim had developed throughout all the generations. So the Rambam Lishitosai was bothered, how can you possibly include in the 613 mitzvahs that had developed through the Torah Shebaal Peh? So in every generation, they're going to come up with another 100 mitzvahs. You're going to have to throw out 100 from the old mitzvahs. Then the next generation, they're going to come up with another 100 mitzvahs. You have to throw out another 100 mitzvahs. You can only have 613. So he said, that's ridiculous. You start off with 613. The 613 mitzvahs, lefi pshuto shel mikra, based on the bare bones of what it says in the Chumash, based on the simple reading of the Torah Shebichzav. Then if the Torah Shebaal Peh adds on more mitzvahs in all the future generations by reading things in between the lines, so that's in addition to the 613. The Rambam didn't mean to say that all the Torah Shebaal Peh is derabbanan. Of course it's deraisa. The Ramban is right. The Ramban attacks the Rambam. Why doesn't he want to include Torah Shebaal Peh? Is there anything? Is it a lower level of something? No, the Rambam agrees. Torah Shebaal Peh is a din min haTorah. But it's not Torah Shebichzav. In every generation, they come up with more drushes of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Beis Din in every generation has the right and the obligation to read the Chumash, and to read in between the lines, and to utilize the Midas Shatran and Reshes Behem. So you can include into the 613 mitzvahs the drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's the simple answer why the Rambam didn't count this. That phrase, Vayitzbu'u al Midyan, they waged war against Midyan, Kashatziva Hashem es Moshe. So this phrase says, the mashmos of the phrase Kashatziva is an allusion to Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh has a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu was told not to encircle them on all four sides. But we don't include Torah Shebaal Peh in the Minyan HaMitzvah. The Rambam doesn't count Nisach HaMayim. Nisach HaMayim on Sukkis is Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Rambam doesn't include that in the Minyan HaMitzvah. Whatever is Torah Shebaal Peh, he writes in the Klalim, in the Sharashim. You don't include Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's the simple answer, why the Rambam didn't count. It's also correct what the Megillas Esther writes here on Mitzvah. This is a prat. This is a detail. The Rambam already wrote, there's a mitzvah to wage war. Melchemes Amalek, Melchemes Zayin Amamim, Melchemes Arishus. Sometimes you have to wage war. And part of one of the details of waging war is not to encircle the enemy on all four sides. So again, that's mitzvah hey, that the Ramban thought that the Rambam should have added, and the explanation why the Rambam didn't want to include it. Mitzvah vav, the Ramban has a funny comment. There is a din in Chumash, when you're waging war, he was just talking about waging war. The first three mitzvahs are about eating. The first mitzvah was you should eat Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Second mitzvah is you should eat Truma when the Truma is in a state of Tahara. Third mitzvah is you eat Peir Shviz. Or it's Shabbos Os Lachem Liochem. So the first three mitzvahs that he forgot, the Rambam, he thinks the Rambam forgot, are the three mitzvahs about eating. And now he's giving mitzvahs about waging war. You have a din, we have to wage war to seize the government in Eretz Yisrael. That was the long mitzvah dalet. In every generation, the Jewish people have an obligation, whenever we have the opportunity to put together a Jewish army and to wage war and to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to establish a Jewish government. In mitzvah, when you wage war, you should leave out the fourth side. In mitzvah vav is also about waging war. Three mitzvahs in a row about waging war. The Chumash says, when you surround a city, so the people are under siege. But ki ha'adam meitz asada lava mipanecha b'matzar. Are the trees human beings? Are they part of the enemy? You're not allowed to destroy the trees. If a rock eats Michael, if it's a tree that's a fruit-bearing tree, you're not allowed to chop it down. If it's not a fruit-bearing tree, so chop it down and use the wood. But if it's a fruit-bearing tree, there's a din of bal tashchis. A sashchis, a seitza, and doach aleha garzen, kivimenu toichal, you shouldn't chop down the tree. So the Rambam counts that as a mitzvah. So he says, at bal tashchis, you're not allowed to chop down a tree, you're not allowed to destroy furniture, you're not allowed to destroy clothing unnecessarily, shouldn't waste food. Bal tashchis. Bal tashchis. So the Ramban says, included in bal tashchis is not only a loisese, the Rambam should have counted both the essay and the loisese. Because he says, this is the Rambam style several times in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Take for example, the Rambam counts a loisese, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher birds. An eagle is a non-kosher bird. So if you eat a non-kosher bird, you get malchus, you're in violation of the law of not eating non-kosher birds. Then the Rambam says, it counts as a mitzvah sesek, kol tzipa tohara tochel. It's mitzvah to eat kosher chicken. So is a mitzvah really a mitzvah once a day, every day to eat chicken? What if I don't enjoy chicken? I want to be a vegetarian. So I'm a vatal a mitzvah. You have to have chicken once a day, every day. In Europe, the Jews couldn't afford to have chicken every day. They used to eat chicken on Shabbos. That's why they used to get married on Friday afternoon. So on Shabbos, they wanted to have the chasen and sudah should eat fleishiks, and they couldn't afford all week long to eat fleishiks. So they got married late Shabbos afternoon, Friday afternoon, and then the sudah sachasana was the Leil Shabbos, was the sudah Shabbos. Everybody had fleishiks for Shabbos. There's no mitzvah to eat chicken every day. So what does the Rambam count called tzipa Torah tachela? Why is that a mitzvah sesei? So the Ravid asked that. What kind of a funny mitzvah sesei is that? So the Ravid himself asked. He probably means that it's halav abo mechlal asei. If you eat eagle meat, or if you eat meat from a non-kosher bird, not only are you in violation of a law, you're in violation of an iser esei. It's not a mitzvah sesei. It's an iser esei. Only called tzipa Torah tachel. You're only allowed to eat flesh from a kosher bird, implying you're not permitted to eat flesh from a non-kosher bird. So the Rambam says you count this twice. You count it in the Minyan HaMitzvahs of the Lavin, and you count it again in the Minyan HaMitzvahs of the Essen. If you have the same pasuk repeated 10 times, don't eat chelev, don't eat dam, so the Rambam says you only count it once. That's a kefal HaMitzvah. But if you have the same din repeated once as an Iser Essay, once as an Iser Lois Essay, then the Rambam's position is that you count it twice. You count it once as an essay, once as a lois essay. So that's why the Ramban is asking on the Rambam, he should have counted this twice. The Rambam counts bal tashchis, you're not allowed to chop down a fruit-bearing tree. He counts that at the Minyan Alav. He says, mitzvah lois essay, nun zayin. Not to do bal tash, not to destroy a fruit-bearing tree. But lefishi tasa of the Rambam, the way he is in the habit of counting something, roi lefichesh bono b'mitzvahs, according to the way the Rambam counts, he won't count if it's repeated many times. It says 10 times not eat chelev. It says many times a hafta mesager. The Rambam only counts it as one mitzvah. Hafta mesager, it's repeated for emphasis. But you don't count it as many mitzvahs just because it's repeated. But if the same mitzvah appears twice, once as a mitzvah sesei, once as a lois sesei, then the Rambam says you do count it twice. So that's the Ramban's kasha. He should have counted bal tashchis twice. Because the Sifrei says on the pasuk, "Lavo mipanecha b'motzer," how does it say? "Ki mimenu toichal." Vosa lo sashchis, the pasuk says. If it's a fruit-bearing tree, you should eat the fruits, but you shouldn't chop it down. So it says, "Ki mimenu toichal zu mitzvah sase." Vosa lo sichris zu mitzvah lo sase. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah and all the soldiers in the army to pluck off fruits from the tree, to eat the fruits. They have packaged food that the army gives them. They don't have to eat the fruits from the tree. when the army doesn't deliver the food. A lot of times they don't deliver the food. Sometimes, a couple of years ago, there was a war in the middle of the summer in Lebanon. So it was in the middle of the 9 days. So they did, by mistake, they delivered fleishigs all the time. So the Frumma soldiers didn't want to eat the fleishig meals. And they wanted to fast on Tisha B'Av. Crazy Meshugayim, you're in the middle of a war. What are you fasting on Tisha B'Av? You have to be alert. You have to know what you're going to fast on Tisha B'Av. You're going to be half asleep. How can you fight a war if you're half asleep? So the chief rabbi had to instruct them, you're not allowed to fast on Tisha B'Av. And if they, by mistake, they sent you fleishigs, you have to eat the fleishigs in the 9 days. What are you observing the minig? By mistake, they sent the fleishigs. You have nothing else to eat, so you have to eat the fleishigs. So what does the pasuk mean? Mimenu tochal is a mitzvah saseh. Well, it's a mitzvah on all the soldiers to pluck off the fruits from the tree. And neither, if they have enough food, if the army supplies them with food, they don't have to pluck off the fruits from the tree. So the Ramban says, mimenu tochal is a mitzvah saseh means, if you'll chop down the tree, it'll be an aver. It's a mitzvah says only to eat the fruit and not to chop down the tree. If you chop down the tree, not only are you in violation of a lav, also lo sichru is a mitzvah says say, if you chop down the fruit-bearing tree, you're in violation of the essay of kimimen toichel. So yes, that the Rambam should have counted it twice. According to the Rambam's own sheet, that whenever you have a lois essay and a lava bo mechlal essay, he does count it twice. That's his kash. So the Megillah says he says again, nah, it's included in some other mitzvah. Okay, it's included in another mitzvah. Mitzvah Zayin of the Ramban, this became famous. The Ramban quotes from Parshas Kisetze. Towards the end of Parshas Kisetze, it says, Yishom l'cha b'nega ha-tzaras, l'ishmo v'la'asos k'chol asher yoreis tam ha-kohanim la'asos. You have to be careful with the nega tzaras. The kohanim have to pass k'ntome yatohar. You can't just get a rabbi who knows. Even if the kohen doesn't know the dinim, the rabbi has to tell a kohen, say Tomei. And the person who has the tzaras only becomes Tomei when the kohen says, you are Tomei. And the rabbi sometimes says, say Tohar, and the person is already a Tomei. He only becomes Tohar just because the negat tzaras disappeared. He doesn't become Tohar automatically. He has to have a kohen pask, and you are Tohar, and then he has to bring the whole series of korbanos. So the pasuk says, Hishom l'cha b'negat tzaras. Then right after that, the next pasuk says, Zohar, we should remember the punishment that Miriam suffered when the Jews were traveling in the Midian. What's the connection between Shamlach ben Akatzar? She was punished with Tzaraz. So the Ramban quotes from the Sifrei. Shamlach ben Akatzar means you should be careful not to talk Lashon Hara. Because one who speaks Lashon Hara will be punished with Negat Saras. Then the pasuk continues, Zohar is the Shas of Hashem Lokech on Miriam. You should remember that Miriam was punished with Negat Saras because she spoke Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is the way the Sifrei presents. The Chafetz Chaim wrote several Svarim on Lashon Hara. He wrote other Svarim also on Hashkafa, on Emunah. He wrote more Svarim not on Lashon Hara, but he's famous for the Chavetz Chaim and the Shmiras Aloshin, and he has another small sefer, Zohar LeMiriam. We should remember the Chet Miriam. The Miriam was punished by Negat Saras because she spoke Lashon Hara, and that's the theme of this little pamphlet of Zohar LeMiriam, based on this Ramban. So the Ramban thinks that this is a mitzvah ledoros, once a year, every year, like Parsha Zohar. Once a year, every year, we assume you have to read Parsha Zohar, not to remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people. So once a year, every year, we should read Parshas Kisetze to remember Chet Miriam, that she was punished because she spoke Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mogen Avraham is not aware of this. He doesn't have a Sefer HaMitzvah. He doesn't have a Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvah. Mogen Avraham quotes this in Hilchos Kriya Shema from the Alkut Shemoni. The Alkut Shemoni says like that just like there's a mitzvah once a year, every year, to read Parsha Zohar. So once a year, every year, there's a mitzvah to read Parshas Chet Miriam. So the Magen Avraham asked, how can we not make a whole tzimis out of it? How can we don't say, this is Parsha Zohar? This is Parshas Chet Miriam. How can we don't have a special Haftarah? So he says, it's a busha for Miriam HaTzadekes. that she did this aveira and she was punished. So it's bad enough we have to read the psukim and the chumash once a year, every year, but we don't make a whole big tzimis. We don't make a whole big fuss about it. We don't dedicate the whole Shabbos to Shabbos Parshas Chet Miriam. But true, once a year, every year, we should read Parshas Chet Miriam. Ramban writes here in Mitzvah Zayin, he's not sure. There's another pasuk in Chumash, Socher Es Acher Tzavta Shasham Lakecha Bamidbar, which remember the way we angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu by worshipping the Chet Ha'egel. So Ramban says, V'lo Yadaiti, he's not sure how to read that pasuk, Socher Es Acher Tzavta. Is that a Haruah Shoh only to the Maktsifim Atzmom, to the Dor HaMidbar? They had to remember, they had to read once a year, every year, the Parshas Chet Ha'egel. Or perhaps it's a mitzvah ledoros. Ulai, hey mitzvah ledoros. Maybe it's a mitzvah throughout all the future generations to remember the chesed ho'elikim aleinu, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to the Jewish people. We angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the whole nation worshipping Avodah Zarah and the Chet Ha'egel, and nonetheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wipe us out. He kept his bris, the covenant that he made with our forefathers, and it didn't wipe out the Jewish people. So Ramban is mesupik, maybe reading Parshas Chet Ha'egel is a mitzvah once a year, every year. The Magen Avraham quotes the Alkut Shemani on both. To remember Chet Ha'egel, to remember Chet Miriam, is once a year, every year. And the reason why we don't make a big fuss about it is because it's a genusim shel Israel. It's genusim shel Osal Tzadek is Miriam, so you don't make a fuss. But everybody has to have in mind when we read Parshas Kisisa that we want to be out to the mitzvah Zechiras Chet Ha'egel. And when we read Parshas Kisetze, we read the pasuk Zohar Esau Shrosa Sham Lekach LeMiriam, we should remember Chet Miriam. That's the mitzvah that we're fulfilling once a year, every year. In Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kari quotes Yesham, there is an opinion that reading Parshas Pora once a year, every year is a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Vilna Gaon says it must be a Torah Sofer, it must be a misprint. It doesn't make any sense. Why should reading Parshas Pora be a mitzvah once a year, every year? Parshas Pora is just to announce to the people they should become Tohar. Pesach is around the corner. Now the couple of weeks are going to be Pesach, so you have to be Mitar yourself in order to participate in the Korban Pesach. Why should it be a Chiyuv min HaTorah? So the Torah Tmima quotes a suggestion from Achrayim that Rashi on Parshas Chukas quotes from Moshe HaDarsha. What Rashi quotes from Moshe HaDarsha we have in the Bamidbar Rabba. Medrash Bamidbar Rabba. Bamidbar Rabba is not from the Amoraim, it's from the days of the Rishon, was written by the Rishon. So this Rav Moshe Darshan says what was printed in the Bamidbar Rabba, Tovo Haimut Kaneach Tzoaz Beno, when the baby has a dirty diaper, so usually he has the mother to clean up the baby. Sometimes it's the father's turn, but usually the mother has to clean up the dirty diaper. So the Jewish people sinned with the Chet Ha'egel. It was an Egel Hazahav. It was a golden calf. It wasn't a real calf. It wasn't a real animal. But a real animal, a calf, is the baby of a cow. So the Pora Aduma mitzvah was given as a kapara tovo haim utkaneach tzoaz beno. We want to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Chet Ha'egel. But we don't want to remember what's the nature of the mitzvah. We should all walk around with the guilty feeling, with the guilty conscience that we all worship Avodah Zarah. Our ancestors worship Avodah Zarah. We were born into sin. Like the Christians say, everyone is born into sin, and everybody should walk around with a guilty feeling. No, we should remember the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though we sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a kapara. How did He give us a kapara? He told us to do the mitzvah Parah Aduma, and the mitzvah Parah Aduma serves as the kapara for the Chet Ha'egel. That's the expression that Rashi quotes from Moshe HaDarshan, beginning of Parshas Chukas, Tovo Ha'eim, Utkaneach, Tzoaz Beno, that Eim is the Parah Aduma, the cow is the mother of the calf. The golden calf was golden, it wasn't real, but if it would have been a real calf, the mother would have been a cow. So the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is to serve as a kapara for the Chet Ha'egel. So that's what the Torah Tmima quotes, some say. That's why they say Parshas Parah is deraisa. By reading Parshas Parah, you are in fulfillment of this mitzvah that the Ramban raised the possibility that there's a mitzvah the Doris to remember the Chet Ha'egel, to remember Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though the whole nation sins, there's such a serious aver of worshipping Chet Ha'egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us and He maintains the Jewish people. He maintains the bris that He made with our forefathers. Okay, Blineta, next time, I guess next week, we'll have to discuss. There's another interpretation of Zechiras Chet Miriam. The Sifrei says it means we should remember the Aveira of Lashon Hara. Miriam was punished for speaking Lashon Hara. Rav Kook, in his Siddur, Oilas Riya, has another interpretation that Rav Soloveitchik thought was very, very good. Rav Soloveitchik liked very much Rav Kook's Siddur. So I'll say over that next time. Good. A good Shabbos, everybody.
Yes.